You heard how it went down. Now time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Recap everything you need to know about this game right now. Now here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia. Yeah!
Well, this was the result that you really needed to see after Thursday's disaster against the Boston Celtics. An impressive win tonight for the Bucks. An impressive showing from Giannis. And, you heard on our post game, one of the questions to Mike Budenholzer was about the MVP race and what do performances like this tonight mean. It means what we already knew here, and that's Giannis is, by every definition, the most valuable player in the league. He's the best player in the league. It's likely too little, too late. I still think this award is going to Joel Embiid. But this performance tonight was everything you wanted to see from the Bucks as a team and from Giannis, because we talked about this a little bit on the pregame show. The Bucks have had some of these tests, and they've frankly fallen short in the second half. You think back to the second game of the second half schedule against these 76ers. You had an 18-point lead, and you had a really bad fourth quarter that resulted in the Sixers coming back, beating you, and snapping your 16-game win streak. The game in Denver against the Nuggets, I realize it was night two of a back-to-back, and going from Utah to Denver is the most difficult back-to-back that exists in the league. But still, you lost that game against the Nuggets. It was a close game at halftime, and it became a blowout. And then Thursday, a game that we all hyped as potentially the regular season matchup of the year, the game we thought would or could determine who was going to get the one seed in the Eastern Conference. It felt like it was going to be a playoff game. It did feel, in fact, like a playoff game for the first 8 or so minutes of that game, and then the wheels completely fell off, and the Boston Celtics embarrassed you on your home floor. So three tests that you had in the second half of the season, two of them were against teams right there with you in the Eastern Conference. And the Bucks came up short in all three of those games. And Giannis, when you look at some of the individual performances in some of those matchups, did not have his best games. Tonight was important because you needed to pass one of those tests. It was important for a number of reasons. That was one of them. You wanted to move past, obviously, what happened Thursday. You needed to win one of those tests, pass one of those tests going into the playoffs. But also, you couldn't afford to lose the head-to-head series to both the Boston Celtics and these Philadelphia 76ers. If you lost this game tonight, and look, I do think Doc Rivers had some interesting things to say about the regular season. I do want to get to those comments a little bit later on the show. But the reality is, that's what gets the attention. And if you lost this game tonight, you would have finished the regular season 2-5 in your 7 games played against the Celtics and the 76ers. 855-616-1620. That's the Old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Old National Bank, get old, but you got the win that you needed to get here, and now that magic number shrinks down to just 3. I did say, when going through that NBA scoreboard, the Washington Wizards are eliminated from the postseason with the results today. They lost and the Bulls won. The Magic are the only team left in the East that could climb into that play-in tournament, but it's going to take a miracle. Magic would need to win their final four and need the Bulls to lose all of their final four games. So, all of a sudden, that game on Tuesday in D.C. is meaningless for the Washington Wizards. But you can't get ahead of yourself because it's the same Wizards team. Maybe weren't mathematically eliminated, but the chances were still very slim a week ago when they badly beat the Boston Celtics and did so shorthanded. I would assume they're going to be without some of those key pieces once again on Tuesday. So on the surface, it seems like very, very encouraging news that all of a sudden one of those final four games is going to come against a team that now has absolutely nothing to play for. But they could still play spoiler, can the Wizards, on Tuesday. So it may increase your chances and lighten the load a little bit. However, you need to beat the Wizards regardless of who's on the floor. Even if the Wizards were still alive in the postseason, that's a game that you should win. So that's how you start things in this final week of the regular season, where you play four games. Tuesday in D.C. against the Wizards. Wednesday, back here against the Bulls. And on the flip side, we said the Wizards will have nothing to play for. The Bulls could still technically move up a little bit. They could move to ninth, potentially eighth in the East, but that's going to take a very, very strong effort as well. So you may all of a sudden go into this final week where all four of those teams, the Wizards, mathematically eliminated. The Bulls may basically be locked into those final two spots in the play-in tournament. By the time Friday rolls around, when you get the Memphis Grizzlies, they may be locked into two in the Western Conference. They're not going to catch the Denver Nuggets. It's just, can they hold off the Sacramento Kings, who lost tonight, by the way? And then the final game of the season against the Toronto Raptors, the way things are going, the Raptors may very well be locked into place, and there will be no seeding at stake for that game on Sunday. So the Bucks, relatively speaking here, have a very favorable schedule to close things out now, despite that difficult matchup with the Memphis Grizzlies. And it's going to be intense on Wednesday with the Bulls. Anytime the Bulls come here to Fiserv Forum and vice versa for the Bucks going to the United Center. But that magic number now, just three games. You win three games, the Celtics lose three games. Any combination of it, you win two, the Celtics lose one. It's just down to three now to clinch the number one seed. And if you want to take the optimist view, it could be as low as one Tuesday if you beat the Wizards and if the Celtics lose to these 76ers. 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank talk and text line. Old National Bank, get old. We'll take a look at the rest of that picture there. The bottom four spots, the 7 through 10 in the play-in tournament, and Philadelphia, what this loss means for them. We'll get into all of that after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Quiet the crowd. It's 5-3. We played a minute 20 here at Fiserv Forum. Middleton answers with a three on the near wing as he cans it from the left side. Cash money Middleton wanted to get his shot working coming.
It's a big star for Chris Middleton in this game tonight as he started 4 of 4 in this game, finishing with 19 points. And I did mention this. We talked about it a little bit during the course of the game. I mentioned it on Twitter as well. From the onset of this game, the first few minutes here, most of that first quarter, really, we saw the Bucks do something I have never really seen them do under Mike Budenholzer. And frankly, Bud has talked about this and been asked this question before. If you go back to the postseason in years past, especially that series against the Atlanta Hawks, when you would look at a guy like Trae Young and say, well, here's somebody you could and should exploit defensively. Even against the Brooklyn Nets, when you had a hobbled James Harden who was playing through that hamstring injury, you had some opportunities, but that's just not how this Bucks team operates offensively. And as Bud has said many times, that's not how we play. You know, we don't hunt mismatches per se. We play within our system. But tonight, that was a little different. They were clearly trying to hunt Joel Embiid. And I mentioned Giannis really coming up defensively. He and Brook Lopez converging on Embiid in the opening minutes there, or the opening seconds for that matter, to get that steal in that early transition basket for the Bucks. But it was Chris Middleton, one of those highlights you heard. That's what they were doing. They were coming out with Brook Lopez, setting the screen, getting Joel Embiid onto a switch, either Drew Holiday or Chris Middleton, and a couple of the times it was Giannis as well. They wanted Embiid on the perimeter. They wanted him to have to move laterally. And Chris Middleton was hitting pull-up jumpers in his face, was going to the basket. Giannis was doing the same. Drew Holiday as well. They wanted to make Joel Embiid move and create some open looks for their teammates, and they took advantage of that in the first quarter. So that, to me, is something to file away, that we have seen this team now do this in this matchup. Maybe it's specific to Philadelphia and they just like that, but maybe, just maybe, it's something they're going to experiment with a little more and embrace a little more in the postseason and deviating a little bit in that offense and hunting some mismatches, something I don't think I'd even say traditionally. You just frankly have not flatly seen the Bucks at all do that in these last 5 years. So that was something that really stood out in the opening minutes of this game. 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Four regular season games remain. And again, it starts Tuesday in D.C. against the Wizards. Then you come back home to take on the Bulls on Wednesday, your final back-to-back of the season. And Friday, Fan Appreciation Day here at Fiserv Forum against the Memphis Grizzlies before wrapping up the season Sunday in Toronto. So, with all of the particulars out of the way, here's what the East looks like. The Bucks, Celtics, and Sixers, 1-3 right now. I think at this point, 3, 4, and 5 are as close to Sharpies and locked in stone as it gets. Sixers are 51-27. They are 3 games back of the Boston Celtics. They each have 4 games remaining, and Boston has the head-to-head tiebreaker. So, Philly, starting Tuesday, when they play these Boston Celtics, or those Boston Celtics, I should say, Philadelphia, and that's home game for Philly, needs to win out and needs the Sixers to lose out just to move up to second. They can't get to one anymore. 5 games back of the Bucks with 4 games remaining. They could get to second, though not very likely, and that's important because it would determine who has home court advantage in the potential 2-3 matchup in the second round semifinal series. Cavaliers are currently 3 back of the Sixers in the loss column. Cleveland, though, has 3 games remaining, so they're in the same spot that the Sixers are with the Celtics. Cleveland is also too far ahead of the New York Knicks, who are 5th, 3 games up on them and owning the tiebreaker there as well. So Philadelphia is going to be 3rd. The Cavs are going to be 4th. And the Knicks are going to be 5th, as New York is currently up on Brooklyn, 2 games in the loss column, with Brooklyn having 4 games remaining. The Knicks have 3 games, but New York also has the tiebreaker there. So we do know, basically, who's going to be 3, 4, and 5, and we're moving closer as well, to me, to knowing the Brooklyn Nets are going to be 6. Miami is now 2 games back of the Nets, and the Nets have the head-to-head tiebreaker. So 2-game difference with 4 games remaining, essentially 3. Miami's in the same spot the Celtics are for catching the Bucks to get out of that play-in tournament. So we're moving very, very close to knowing the top 6 teams being locked in, and the order very, very close to locked in as well. The play-in tournament is where it remains very interesting and murky, because all of those teams are relatively compressed aside from the Miami Heat. But the play-in tournament and their teams and seeding, it's important to the Bucks because at this point you know you're going to be 1 or 2. You are not going to finish 3rd, and that means you're going to get one of those teams in the play-in tournament. Your first-round matchups that we know of are very likely going to be Philadelphia versus Brooklyn and Cleveland versus New York. The Philly-Brooklyn matchup I want to get to in just a minute here. Cleveland-New York as well has a lot of intrigue, but 7 through 10 right now is Miami, Atlanta, Toronto, and Chicago, and it's funny that the Bucks will face 2 of those teams in their final 4 games of this season. But let's start with the 7th-seeded Miami Heat. As of right now, they are 2 games up on the Atlanta Hawks. The only team in that group, Heat, Hawks, Raptors, and Bulls, or in this case, Hawks, Raptors, and Bulls, the only team in that group of play-in teams that the Miami Heat currently holds the head-to-head tiebreaker over is the Atlanta Hawks. So Atlanta is essentially 3 games back of Miami, and they each have 4 games remaining. Miami is going to be 7. Atlanta and Toronto are both tied. 39-39 on the season. Toronto, we know, is going to be in the play-in tournament. Miami can get out of it. Atlanta can get out of it. But we know Toronto is going to be a play-in tournament team. The Atlanta Hawks currently hold the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Toronto Raptors. So Atlanta, if those two teams finish tied, would be your 8 seed. Toronto would be your 9 seed. The Raptors currently hold the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Chicago Bulls, who are 38-40. And the Bulls hold the tiebreaker over both the Heat and the Hawks. So if Chicago can move up and match Atlanta or move past Toronto, the Bulls could still get on that 7-8 line and have two chances at making the postseason. That's the importance of finishing 7-8 versus finishing 9-10. You finish 9-10, you lose once and you're eliminated. If you finish 7th and 8th, you lose that first game, you still got one more crack at the postseason. So there is still set to be a lot of movement in 7 through 10, and really 8 through 10, with the Hawks, Raptors, and Bulls. And that's what makes it even more interesting that the Bucks have two of those teams in their four remaining games. The first of those is going to be Wednesday here at Fiserv Forum against the Chicago Bulls. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line to get in touch with us tonight on Bucks Talk. More after this, as we will take a look at what's left for Boston. Two back of the Bucks, the magic number down to 3. What's the schedule ahead for the Boston Celtics? I'll give you a spoiler alert. It's very similar to the Bucks. We'll fill you in after this on Bucks Talk.
A round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Melton, top of the circle, feeds to Niang. Niang's got Giannis all over him. Passes it off now. A drive inside ball knocked away from Melton. Picked up by Crowder. Off to Giannis. He's going the other way. Steps in, misses the shot, gets his own rebound, and then puts it right back up and in.
There's a couple of interesting things we saw from this rotation tonight. Well, not only tonight, but the last couple of games, really, that I want to get into as well. But the most important thing from tonight is a win, as the Bucks, in some ways, avenge that loss from March 4th against this same team, and also, in some ways, avenge the loss that they suffered to the Boston Celtics on Thursday in this very building, and move that magic number down to just 3 now to clinch the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. A 13-point home win tonight, 117-104, behind a simply brilliant game from Giannis, leading the way with 33 points. He did it efficiently. He had a double-double. He dished out 6 assists as well and 3 blocked shots. And really, the only negative from the night for Giannis was the fact that Giannis had that highlight reel play. It should have been his 7th assist of the game. The feed into the corner for Joe Ingles on that 3-pointer ultimately waved off and ruled a charge. It gave Giannis his 5th foul, and the game was already out of reach at that point. But the only negative was that play being ruled a charge and the points taken off the board for Giannis. This was everything you wanted to see from Giannis. As we mentioned, he was clearly the best player on the floor. I don't want to get too much into the MVP debate because we have talked about this quite a bit on this show, on Bucks Weekly, any appearances elsewhere that I have had for weeks now, really for months. I have felt like Joel Embiid is going to win the MVP. That is not me saying I think Joel Embiid is the MVP. It's how this award works. It is a narrative award. Joel Embiid has yet to win one. That is part of your narrative, is we always treat this award as, well, whose turn is it next? Giannis won 2 in a row. Giannis had a pretty good season the following year, but Giannis's team fell short in the postseason. You lost in the conference finals to the Toronto Raptors after you held a 2-0 lead, and after you had a chance to go up 3-0 if it weren't for a couple of missed shots in overtime. The following year, the Bucks get off to a 73-win pace, it starts to slow down just a little bit. And then, of course, COVID happens. We reconvene in the bubble. The bubble was an absolute disaster for this team, and I don't think Giannis was viewed the same after that. So Giannis was out of the MVP running from that point forward, no matter what he did that following season. What he did that following season, though, was win a championship. And really, the biggest shame is last year. I think Giannis has been very good this year. I still think Giannis is the best player in the league. He is clearly the best two-way player in the league. He is the guy everybody would want to build their team around. But last year is where we should have had the discussion even more. Last year, and that look, that's on me, that's on everyone else. Last year is when you had to make a much, much stronger case that Giannis should have been the MVP. When you compare his numbers to Nikola Jokic, to Joel Embiid, Giannis was clearly the best player. I don't know that he has quite as strong a case statistically this year. Joel Embiid has been terrific. Nikola Jokic has been outstanding. Giannis has been very good, but the efficiency just hasn't been there quite as much this year. And look, it's forgivable and it's explainable because of everything he was dealing with in terms of personnel and teammates off the floor early in the season. All of that being said, long story short, I still think, to me, he is the MVP. I don't think he's going to win it, and I don't think at this point it's going to be close. He's going to be a distant third. It's going to be Joel Embiid that wins the award again because it's Joel Embiid's turn, and that's just how this award works. But performances like tonight, you wanted to get one of those vintage Giannis games going into the postseason, and not only for Giannis, but for this team because Thursday was as bad as it gets, and I think we just kind of glossed over that. We spent quite a bit of time on it on Thursday. We glossed over it a little bit tonight, but Thursday was really as bad as it gets. So bad that I think a lot of Bucks fans were starting to question, well, what can this team really do in the postseason? I was asked about it. I know all of you have talked about it as well. It's not a disaster scenario, but look, if we're being honest with ourselves, it hasn't been a good showing by the Bucks against the Boston Celtics. That is not to say you can't beat the Boston Celtics, but it is to say everything you have been doing, it hasn't worked against this Celtics team. We can say the Bucks were shorthanded, they weren't healthy. It was part of a five-game road trip right around Christmas and that Christmas Day showdown with the Celtics. The Celtics dominated the Bucks in that game. 3 months, 2 months later, in February, when you played here, Celtics didn't play any of their regulars. It was basically their G League team, and they still pushed you to overtime. And then, of course, what happened on Thursday. Boston is very confident. The Celtics feel as though they have the matchups against the Bucks. And for the Bucks, for the last 2 years, it has not been a good matchup. But I think the critical takeaway is what Jrue Holiday said after the game. You didn't see any teams or any players, I should say. You didn't see anybody that had shaken confidence after that game. Maybe that's bluster and bravado. But you saw a team that said, look, we got to do some things differently. We know that. It's not that it's the only reason or it's a total excuse here, but this was our sixth game in 9 days. Five of those were in different cities. Four were on the road. Couple of back-to-backs. This was our second back-to-back within those 9 days. And this is a Celtics team that was pretty well rested. And we mentioned they played Tuesday. They had Wednesday off. They came to Milwaukee. They played Saturday. They'll have off today. They have off tomorrow, as every team in the NBA does. They play again Tuesday. Boston just, in this stretch, hadn't gone through that grind. Now, they did have it earlier in the season. When you open up the season and the reigning conference champions had a lot more games, especially national games, so it was more compact. But there was a number of factors that went into it. The Bucks players were the first to point that out after the game, and Jrue Holiday said, look, it's not great. I understand the optics of this. You lose by 41 on your home floor in a game where you all had quite a bit to play for. The Celtics had a lot to play for. It was a statement game for Boston. The Bucks, this is not to say they did not have a lot to play for. They had a lot to play for as well. If you won that game, it's over. You are the one seed. But as Jrue Holiday put it, let's go back to game 2 against the Brooklyn Nets. And I know I'm guilty of this. after game two against the Nets, nobody thought the Bucks were winning that series. I think most of us didn't think the Bucks were going to see more than four games in that series. You thought there's no way this is not going to be a sweep. You were down by 50 points in that game, and you lost by close to 50 points. We've been here before. We know how to get out of these spots. We just got to change some things, is the message from the locker room after that game against the Celtics on Thursday. And look, tonight was important because when you hear that, you got to see the action the following game. And I was very curious to see how this team would respond. We approached this game thinking, well, we're going to see a different team. We're going to see a motivated team. We're going to see an angry team. They were embarrassed by what happened on Thursday. They finally got some rest with 2 days off, Friday and Saturday. We're going to see a different version of the Bucks. Now, I did not expect to see a 41-point loss on Thursday, so coming into this, I expected to see a different version. But in the back of your mind, you thought, well, what if? But that wasn't the case tonight. This was everything that you wanted to see, and now it's a matter of the behind-the-scenes stuff, the things you got to work on, because you keep winning, you're going to face the Boston Celtics. The Celtics are not a good matchup for this team you beat tonight. If those two teams meet in the second round, the Celtics are going to beat the Philadelphia 76ers. You can't look past the Cleveland Cavaliers or the New York Knicks, but you're going to have to get through the Boston Celtics. So you can't look in front of yourself. You can't look too far ahead. You still got to get through some tough teams. But you got to figure out what you got to do differently to get past the Boston Celtics. And it wasn't a giant step. Tonight, some of the things we saw, some of the guys that they played, the way they played, and again, it may be small, it may seem small, but things as minimal as exploiting mismatches and trying to hunt those mismatches that we didn't traditionally see. I don't think it's coincidental. We saw this really for the first time after that performance on Thursday. Things like that are exactly what you wanted to see following Thursday and as this team moves into the playoffs. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line. I mentioned some changes to the rotations. I'll get to that in just a moment, but let's head out to the phone lines real quick and grab this call. Dick in Port Washington. What's going on tonight, Dick?
Well, you know, this MVP thing, you know, in reality, I think Giannis, you know, he's 1-2. Jokic is 1-2. Who cares, really? I mean, you know, here's my point tonight. Why I don't think Joel's going to win this thing. But you know what? He was on the bench a whole lot tonight. He didn't play in Denver because he was injured, you know. I think his psyche is fragile. And I think I just don't see him leading the team anywhere. Once he gets behind, he quit. Somewhat tonight. Because what the heck was he doing on the bench? And the second point is, I think Giannis has pointed out, you know, yeah, he'd like to win it, but the number one thing is to win the tournament.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I think the thought process the Bucks have to be, we have to go 3-1 for these last games, okay? I'm hoping that Toronto goes into Philly and takes one, or maybe even Philly beats them. But you know what? I wouldn't be surprised to see on the injury report, Joel's not going to play. I just have no faith in this guy. And I hope Mike looks at the in our trip to Washington. You gotta play everybody. You win that, and I think like that's going to be mathematically almost impossible. But you still have to go and win. Even if that happens, you got to win two games. And maybe my math is wrong, but maybe at least one more game because Bulls are going to be up.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You may have to win three, you know, like, and I agree. And I think they're going to approach as such, but you're going to see everybody Tuesday. You're going to see everybody Wednesday because they know we've said all along, we want the one seed. Well, Maybe we get help on Tuesday from Philly because that's who hosts the Celtics. But I agree with you. I wouldn't be stunned to see Embiid out on Tuesday, maybe even Harden as well, because Philly, at this point after the loss tonight, they know they're locked in to third in the East. And what's the point of giving anything away or risking any type of injury? So I don't think you can rely on getting help there on Tuesday.
No. And I think a lot of it, Joel, I think, has, I don't want to say mental health issues, but the way he plays the game, he's great when they're in a groove. You know, he, you know, you don't see him giving a big grunt in that. I'll never forget when they beat us last time they were here, all the big things. Hey, well, where were you the other times, you know? I just don't see it. So I still think we have to look at this. We've got to be 3-1 out. Chicago beat Memphis tonight big.
Yep.
I don't know where they fit. How does this fit from that? You know, they're still trying to bring Ja back, but maybe they, you know, all he needs is a tweak an ankle, you know? I mean, so we're in the driver's seat, but I'm still really uncomfortable.
I'm still, and my voice may not show, I'm still comfortable, I guess, I suppose as comfortable as you can be with a very, very good team behind you that holds the tiebreaker over you. I think the interesting thing is going to be Memphis because, you know, to your point, they're still kind of figuring things out. They're a much different team than when we saw them earlier back in December, and they've had injuries have been a part of that. Brandon Clark is lost for the year. Steven Adams is not going to be playing on Friday and may not be back until midway through the playoffs at best. So they've dealt with some injuries and the whole John Morant thing as well. But you almost hope to alleviate some of that pressure that by the time you get to that game on Friday, they have locked up the 2 seed. The Kings losing tonight helped them because they're 2 up on Sacramento for the 2 seed. But the Kings have the tiebreaker. So it's basically the same spot the Bucks are in with the Celtics. That's what the Grizzlies have with the Kings to hold on to that 2 seed, if that is in fact what they want, because the West is just so strange with how teams are bunched up, and you don't really know who's going to finish where. Right now, if you're the 3 seed, that means you're getting the Warriors, but tomorrow it could be the Lakers, it could be the Suns, who knows?
Okay, but so Adams, their center, Adams is out for next Friday for sure, you know that?
He's out for the regular season.
Oh, wow. I mean, okay. Now that's a big deal, because Brooks going to eat him on the inside. That makes me feel better. But we still got to go 3-1.
I agree with that. I agree that 3-1 is the mark that you got to shoot for. Thanks for the call, Dick. We're up against the break, but we're definitely in line there. You got to shoot for 3-1 with these 4 games left. You can't go 2-2. I know there is a path to getting that 1 seed at 2-2, even worse, but you can't assume you're going to get any help from the Boston Celtics. 855-616-1620, the Old National Bank Talk and Text Line. More after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
Ain't no way they can stop me now, daddy, 'cause I'm on my way.
13-point home win for the Bucks tonight, taking down the 76ers, shrinking that magic number down to 3 in their quest for the number 1 seed. So again, you can see it shrink down to as low as 1 on Tuesday. Bucks go to D.C. to take on the Wizards. That same night, the Celtics go to Philadelphia to take on these 76ers. There are no games played tomorrow as the NBA takes the day off, basically to watch the national championship and to give the spotlight to the NCAA and their college basketball tournament. So all teams get the day off tomorrow, so Tuesday is when we pick things back up in D.C. against the Wizards. I did want to spend some time as well on the CBA that it first came out Friday morning, Saturday morning, or early morning hours that the league had finally reached an agreement with the Players Association. We heard that it was a very good chance they were going to have a new agreement in place by the end of the week. It's here, and there are some pretty big changes that would have a big impact on the Bucks and teams like them. And if they were in place a year ago, you would see a much different Bucks team this season. So I did want to spend some time on that. We don't have time tonight, in the hope that the game on Tuesday is going to be a Bucks win and go their way. I do want to spend the time Tuesday to take a look at some of these changes in the CBA and what it means going forward, not just the cap implications, some of the other changes, and how important it's going to be for teams like the Bucks to win in the draft and with developing players. So we will spend some time getting into that on Tuesday's show. But I did mention pretty similar schedule for both these teams, the Bucks and the Boston Celtics. For Boston, Tuesday night in Philadelphia is their next game. And then they close out the season with three games against two teams that are in contention in the play-in tournament. And these two teams currently tied with the same record, sitting 8-9 in the East. The Atlanta Hawks and the Toronto Raptors, Wednesday, Friday. Celtics host the Raptors, and they wrap up the season Sunday against the Atlanta Hawks. So they do have one more back-to-back, Tuesday in Philly, Wednesday at home against the Raptors. That's what the Celtics have. Very similar in some ways to what the Bucks have, where they have Philly. Who knows, though, who they're going to see on Tuesday against the Sixers. Bucks, you would point to that Memphis game again. Who knows what you'll see. And then your other games are teams in that play-in tournament, or in the case of the Bucks, one that was just eliminated in the Washington Wizards. But the good news is a win, a big bounce-back win tonight over the 76ers, and now three is the magic number for that one seed in the East. My thanks to everybody for tuning in tonight and giving us a call. Evan Witalison for producing the show as well. Tuesday night is our next game. Bucks in D.C. to take on the Wizards. We will talk to you afterwards with more Bucks Talk.